So next up is me. As I said earlier, I'm Stephanie Marhefka. I'm an assistant professor at the College of Public Health at the University of South Florida, and I'm pleased to talk with you today about video phone delivery of an effective behavioral intervention for women living with HIV at community-located intervention stations. I'll talk about adaptation and implementation challenges and strategies. So I'll give you a brief rationale and description of our project, and then I'll talk about our adaptation, including initial challenges and strategies, and then challenges and strategies discovered during theater testing, and I'll describe what that is in just a few moments. Then I'll talk about our implementation and related challenges and strategies, and review some conclusions and future directions. So there's a need to expand access to behavioral interventions for people living with HIV. Effective programs have been disseminated, but many people in rural or remote areas often cannot access these programs. And it is often just not practical to offer effective programs to people who live in areas of low prevalence, at least when those programs are group-based, because there are often aren't enough people to bring in together at one time for a group. So one potential strategy is to use group video conferencing, and I'll tell you more about that today. So the goal of our project is to explore group video conferencing for disseminating healthy relationships, which is an effective behavioral intervention, and we'll disseminate that to women living with HIV. So today I'll talk about our adaptation, and also a pilot test that we did, and a feasibility randomized controlled trial that is currently underway. Healthy relationships is a prevention with positives intervention. It's typically delivered in 5 sessions that are about 2 hours each. It is group-based and uses movie-quality video clips as a springboard for discussion about disclosure and safer sex, as well as skills-building activities. So we talk about having video groups. What are they? Video groups are essentially groups that happen over video conferencing. So each woman accesses the video groups at an individual community-based intervention station. So the woman sits in front of a special video phone that works over the internet. Here you see an image of that video phone. This has some stock photos, so this isn't exactly what ends up looking like when we have all the women participants. But each person is shown on the video phone. The person who is speaking shows up in the larger box in the middle, or here you see it to the left, but everybody who is participating, as well as the facilitators, show up on the video screen at one time. So everybody is viewed simultaneously by everyone in the room. So to adapt healthy relationships, we relied somewhat on the adaptation framework that's called ADAPT-IT, and that's Gina Wingood and Ralph DiClemente's model. It's a multi-phase method, and the unique feature is theater testing. This involves completing select intervention activities with the target population while the study team and key stakeholders observe. Typically, they would sit behind the group members and watch. Everybody completes open and closed-ended surveys, and the results inform the adaptation of the intervention. This is if you're going to adapt something for a new population, let's say. But our adaptation is a little different. We're not really looking at a new population, we're looking at a new delivery. So we recruited community advisory board members to complete the adaptation process, and then we had a small subset of the CAB and the study team adapt intervention activities before the theater testing, and that was critical because some of the activities just weren't compatible with video group delivery. It just wasn't going to be possible to do everything as is on the video phone. So I want to tell you about some of the challenges and strategies we found in that initial adaptation. The first one is, how do you do pair and share? One of the first activities in the original intervention has people break up into groups of 2, tell each other a little bit about themselves, and then each person introduces their counterpart to the group. Well, we don't have a way to pair people off over the video phone. So what we had to do is have individuals introduce themselves to the video group. Pretty easy solution to that problem. If they were all that easy, that would be nice. The next challenge we encountered had to do with how we were going to display certain information. As you may know, when we do in-person groups, often we'll have posters, banners, or newsprint up all around the room, and it's great. You can write as much as you want on the newsprint, and then you just rip it off, and you put another one up, and you make more notes. Well, in this case, we didn't have that. It wouldn't be possible to do it that way. So we realized we could display banners and what we're calling an electronic whiteboard via word processing documents. And so this allowed us to show these. You can see on the screen just a screenshot of what the electronic whiteboard might look like, and then that would be projected on the video phone during our intervention. So that we can make these lists like you would make in person, but instead they're on a Word document projected on the video phone. When I talk to people about what we're doing, they often say, but you can't do role play over the video phone. But we can, and we do. So we figured out that that we could do the role play by arranging the video image so that the two individuals, we typically have two individuals involved in the role play, those two people can only see each other during the role play. So it makes it a little bit more intimate, more like it would be in person in a role play, so they're talking directly to one another. And we've found that to be effective. People also say, how are you able to do condom demonstration and practice over the video phone? And we're able to do that by having supplies on site and having participants watch one another over the video phone. Now, we accidentally ordered some very large condom models, and this is great for adding levity to the groups, but it also helps because they're so big that you can't miss them on the screen of the video phone. So after the initial adaptation, we did what we're calling video theater testing. So we only looked at selected activities that we had adapted or that we thought would be potentially challenging. And we used as intervention stations four private rooms that had the video phone and the session materials, and these were in my academic department just for this theater testing. The facilitator station was my office, and I had a computer as well as the video conferencing control equipment, and we need the computer to work with that control equipment so that we can do things like display the video clips and also the electronic whiteboard on the video phone. The theater in this case, now normally the theater would just be whatever room you're using to do the group. But for us, our theater was a digital classroom, and we had a video image showing that replicated what the participants saw on their video phones. So who watched that? Those were the observers. So our CAB members and our study team members who were not otherwise involved were watching in that room. The CAB members were mock intervention participants, and we gave each of the CAB members an opportunity to act in that role so they could see what it was really like sitting in front of the video phone. I was a facilitator, and then I also invited one of our CAB members who is an in-person healthy relationships trainer in the community to join me in facilitating, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So in the theater testing experience, we ran into some additional challenges. So the video clip transmission was delayed over the video phone. The audio did not match the video when people were watching it. And this was when we ran the video directly from the computer to the video phone. And so we had a number of technical staff helping us out, and we came up with a little bit of a cockamamie solution of using a projector to display the video clips on the wall, using speakers to project the audio in the room, and then we capture that with the camera from our video conferencing equipment. So it's a little complex, but generally it works. We also ran into an issue where the video phone's small screen, it's about 10 inches, limited the text visibility on the electronic whiteboard. So remember, I was talking about how much you could write on newsprint if you're in an in-person group, you just can't do that the same way on the video phone. So we learn we have to write succinctly, and we also have to increase the text, which increases the need to write succinctly. An interesting and somewhat surprising challenge was that one group facilitator, not me, so the person who did the in-person groups in the community, was not well suited at all to the video group delivery. He came in, he sat there with me, and absolutely froze in front of the screen. And I know that he does well in the in-person groups. So what we learned is that we were going to have to be very careful about who we hired for this facilitator position. And in fact, when we went through the hiring process, we actually had people come and sit in front of the video conferencing equipment to make sure they were comfortable before we hired them. Implementation involved a single group pilot trial with 4 participants, and then our feasibility randomized control trial with partial crossover from waitlist to active intervention. Our target is about 70 participants. We currently have 33 who've completed the interventions. They've done so at 7 intervention stations at 6 participating sites within 4 counties in Florida. So here you can see a picture of one of the intervention stations. This is a particularly stark, sterile kind of environment. Not all of our intervention stations are like this, but we're working with the community and with the space that we have and the constraints that come with that. So implementation, of course, has brought its own set of challenges. We learned that the internet service at the sites may not be fast enough to accommodate our needs as well as the agency's other activities. So therefore, absolutely needed a dedicated internet line installed at each site, and that has certainly been helpful and effective. We also found that oversight was needed at the intervention stations, and we expected this to some extent and had already planned to have a staff monitor or study liaison at each site. But we learned over time how critical that was, and we also learned that having these study liaisons at each site brought its own set of challenges in terms of their comfort with the technology and how all of this fits in with their other job-related duties. And so those are some challenges we're still working out. Also, we had some issues, as you might imagine, with the technological project. We had some issues with video transmission. So, and by that I mean transmission of everything we were doing. So in some cases there was pixelation of the screen. You know, you'd start to see the little color blocks and things. We also had times when video phones were just dropped from the connection and had to be reconnected, and ran into issues where there was audio delay. So it was very critical to have live technical support available during our sessions, and that continues to be critical. So far, we've had technical issues in 14 out of 42 sessions, so about 42%. We've had 38 incidents of technical issues, and of those, we've had to involve the technical team about 29 times. And so clearly it's important to have this technical support. Now when they get involved, they're not always involved for very long. Sometimes it's a fast fix, other times it takes a little longer. But definitely critical to have people there. They're not on site in our case. They're actually about 4 hours away, but who cares, we're doing an internet-based intervention. So that works out just fine, but it's critical to have them. And definitely our study is complicated, and doing these video groups is complicated, and coordination of study liaisons and the technical support team is required. You can imagine it when we do have technical problems, especially if we have multiple problems at different sites, this is critical. So we've had to assign someone to act as a session manager, and they communicate hopefully with the sites communicate with us via live chat. We use Google Chat for this purpose, and so this way, this one person acts as a control center for any problems or issues or questions that come up, and it turns out to be a pretty intensive job. So to conclude, we did find that the adaptive model was a useful framework for this kind of technology implementation or adaptation. We needed, obviously, to make some changes to adapt it, but it was very helpful. Adapting in-person sessions for video groups is complex, but it's possible, even when you're dealing with a very sensitive topic and the intervention has a lot of interactive components. We've been able to find ways to do this successfully. Certainly, extensive pilot and feasibility testing is required. We're learning new things every day, and those will be critical as we think about scaling this up to a larger randomized controlled trial and then to maybe statewide dissemination of this delivery mechanism. A flexible team with strong problem-solving skills may be a key to success, certainly has been key in our experience. So we're working now on completing the feasibility trial of video group delivery of healthy relationships to women living with HIV. We're also trying to identify the minimal systemic and institutional structures and supports and human resources necessary for widespread video group dissemination. We plan to seek NIH funding for a large RCT, and I'm very excited about the prospect of expanding these intervention stations to provide access to group-based interventions for primary, secondary, and tertiary prevention of other chronic conditions, because doing that is what's really going to make this meaningful and powerful. It's going to allow us to have intervention stations in these communities and keep them going, because of course in some communities there aren't that many people living with HIV, but we have many people who are living with diabetes and other chronic conditions who could use support and education and could receive that through these video phones. I want to acknowledge everybody who's been helpful in this project, most importantly the study participants, our CAB members, everybody in the community who's been supportive and helped to make this possible, as well as the National Institute of Mental Health that funded the project. There's my contact information. Okay, I have a few minutes for questions if anybody has them. Yes. Okay, you got to stop with your questions because I don't think I'll have time to answer any more, but let me see what I can do to address what you've asked so far. So our pilot and feasibility testing has been in four Florida counties. One of them is a fairly rural county. Another is not as urban, and then we have two urban counties. So we did that because it's a little easier to get the numbers we need there, but the idea is certainly to expand to other areas. It has been an issue in that rural county to identify a good place for people to go and how they're going to get there. In terms of identifying participants, we've distributed flyers, we've worked with the public health departments and any of the clinics or pharmacies, anybody who's doing any work with people living with HIV in these areas. We've worked very hard to get them familiar with our study, and we've had great success with recruitment. We have a lot of phone calls about our study. We end up having a lot of people who aren't eligible because we have pretty strict criteria, but there's definitely been a high level of interest in the study. And I think you asked one other question, but I can't remember what it was. Yes. So we teach people who come in to do the intervention. We actually added a session so that we could teach people how to use the video phone, and it doesn't take 2 hours. It takes about 20 minutes. to teach them everything they need to know to use the video phone. That works out really well. The problem is not teaching the participants, it's teaching the study liaisons and getting them familiar with how the technology works and how the chatting function works and how to keep in touch with us. So I'm happy to talk more with you after if you have additional questions, and we may have a little bit of time at the end as well to open up questions about any of the presentations. But